I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This is Internet Marketing. Hello everyone and welcome to episode 98 of Internet Marketing. I'm joined in the studio by Professor Kelvin Newman.
I wouldn't say I'm a professor. I do look a bit professory sometimes.
Professorial.
I have no qualifications to justify me being called a professor, but I do look a bit like one.
And Mr. Graham Benstead.
Actually, I've got something to say.
Go on.
I've been lying about my name.
Ah.
Yeah, I got married all of 3 months ago, and I did change my name to Graham Benstead Hume, which is a bit of a mouthful.
Zach, let me get this right. You married a woman, and yeah. You've absorbed her name into your name.
Well, yeah. I suppose part of it is that her surname was Hume, which is a great name, and she's probably a descendant of everybody's favourite philosopher, David Hume. And okay. So it did seem like a shame to get rid of that name.
And it's the initials. That's the real reason, isn't it, Graham?
G-B-H.
Okay, yeah. So you're now Mr. Benstead Hume.
Yep.
A very posh-sounding, very English-sounding name.
Yeah, it's that tash that goes with it as well.
It is,
Mr.
Yeah.
Benstead,
yeah, yeah.
Mr. Benstead Hume. I'm thinking about, when I have a child, maybe calling it Sebastian.
Yeah. Benstead Hume. Oh, he sounds like a politician.
Sebastian Benstead Hume. And the moment he was born, he'd be an elder statesman.
You have to become a lord immediately. Okay, but it's a questions and answers today. I have a couple of questions in my hands on paper, so there will be a slidey, papery sound. Should we start?
Let's go for it. And
stand by, gentlemen. Mr. Benstead Hume.
Mr.
Newman. hang on. Just clear my throat, sorry. Kelvin, love your podcast. You guys rock. Quick question. When does your book come out? I think he's referring that to you, Kelvin, isn't
he? Yeah, well, it should be out fairly shortly.
Hang on, I haven't finished the question
yet,
Kelvin.
Yeah, I know, but there's a second bit, and that bit, the first bit is it should be by, beginning of January.
You need to set a date, Kelvin, like I did, and then miss it.
Yes, I know, I'm not setting a date unless I can commit to it, but that's the aim, early January.
He then goes on to say, I'm specifically interested in tips on how to craft communications to reach out to targeted blogs/sites, who may have an interest in my products and resources. Also, as an aside, we are in the States. I've never heard of boffins. Originally, I thought you guys had misspelt buffoons. Regards, Mike Ketchum from True Contour Sleep Systems. That's over in Carmel. What does IN, which state is IN? Indiana?
Is it Indiana?
You're going to slam us now, aren't you? All you United States listeners
for not knowing these
abbreviations.
Not on the state codes. But yeah, no, I mean, I think it's an interesting question. So how do you reach out to bloggers as a process, really? I mean, my first tip would be to realise that the people who are running blog websites are either doing it as a personal hobby and passion, or it's work, but they're very creatively involved in that process. So therefore, that probably gives them a slightly different approach to kind of a journalist, a traditional journalist working for an offline publication, because it's a hobby. So therefore they take it very, very seriously, but also want to be kind of treated with respect, because it's not their day job here. It's something that they're doing out of fun. So my first tip would be never, ever contact a blogger having only visited their website once, because not only will you not know whether they really are the right sort of blog to be getting in contact with, also you won't know the right tone to be talking to them, because bloggers vary hugely in their approach. They might be very, very professional. They might be very, very amateurish. They might be, you know, all kinds of possible permutations of the type of person behind a blog. So you really need to be able to appreciate, are they really a good match for your website, and what's the type of person behind it before you get in contact? My approach I typically suggest is when you're doing a kind of blogger outreach, you start by finding the most obvious blogs in your sector. That's a starting point. You go into Google blog search, you type in your keywords, see which ones come up. More often than not, they'll probably be the biggest blogs in the sector, so probably the most likely to be getting pitched to all the time, so probably the least receptive to any kind of attempts you make to kind of pally up with them. So what I then do is then go, well, let's see who these main blogs are linking out to. So who's the kind of subsidiary blogs below that who are part of the ecosystem, part of the world, and still very integral to that niche, but perhaps not the highest profile websites there. And then visit each of those websites. Go through a process of eliminating some that you think just clearly aren't a match for you for whatever reason. Then maybe you'll narrow yourself down to a kind of more manageable number, maybe a dozen, 24, something like that kind of websites. Sign up for the RSS feed of all of them, and then spend a couple of weeks just, sort of immersing yourself in the content they're producing. So you're familiar about them, you know what that blog's about, you know the personality of the writers, you know the approach that they take. Now, over that period, I would then say, well, begin to get yourself noticed by those bloggers. That can be in a number of ways. It could be retweeting their content. It could be leaving comments on their blog posts. It could be dropping them an email to suggest an additional link to one of their blog posts that's not beneficial to you. You're doing it kind of to help them out. Generally, just kind of do some things to get on their radar and begin to get them to realize that you are an active reader of theirs. Now, over a period of weeks, possibly months, you'll begin to start to really understand who they are, really have a sense of how you should communicate with them, and then hopefully they'll begin to know who you are in the process. And in doing that, then when you do make that outreach attempt, you're not an absolute stranger who's visited the site once, wants a huge favour from them, and then just doesn't care about it anymore. You're a reader of theirs. And if you have that connection, it works very well. And, you know, it works the same with the podcast here. We know who the people who listen, you know, we know we've got 17,000 listeners, but there's probably, you know, 500 or 600 of them who are quite active in the way that they promote us. And we're kind of, yeah, we might not know all of those people by name, but we do kind of recognize avatars, recognize usernames, recognize websites and that. So then when those people ask the questions, we always kind of put them to the front of the queue, as it were, because it's that level of appreciation that you get there. So that would be my sort of process I go for. I'm sure Graham's probably got some ideas as well about how you go about reaching out to bloggers.
Come on, Mr. Ben said Hume, give us the deal.
A social bunny. I suppose for me, to begin with, the question and the way that you're approaching this is maybe could do of having just a quick look at. So you're looking at crafting communication to reach out to blogs and sites who might have an interest in your product. Now, I think maybe having a think of how you're looking at it, and perhaps I suppose the way that I'd look at it is what you're really looking for is value communities that are going to value the content and resources related to what you're offering. So instead of just trying to find perhaps some blogs or sites which you can kind of throw some content at and hopefully, you know, they might respond, I think really a much better way to approach this would be, to start trying to work out really what you can give back to the communities. And you're going to hear me say this again and again. Social media, which I think this is fair to say, social media marketing, is not about using sort of the latest tools. It's not about using even, you know, the biggest tools just to throw your content at people. It's what it's really about is building a community around your brand, bringing that community and nurturing it. So really, I think maybe you'd be better off starting to look at perhaps what you can do to offer those communities. And once you've done that, you can start to you can start kind of getting involved in those communities, as Kelvin was saying. You're going to be listening to what they're saying. You're going to be listening to what you can give them, which they're going to really value. And of course, you know, people don't have time. I don't think anybody has time for an advert flying up at them in Twitter. You know, you get followed by somebody who just tweets perhaps the same URL again and again, and you're just going to unfollow them, and you're very unlikely to ever actually follow the URL. So instead, perhaps you might look at, as I say, what do these people need, and then perhaps either creating new content or repurposing the existing resources, which you could perhaps host on either your website or, you know, on a blog. And, once you've kind of got a specific set of communities which you've got that sort of content for, then you can start to, instead of having to kind of trawling through forums and, you know, going onto blog posts and commenting and, you know, just trying, I suppose, putting yourself in a place where you hope that somebody might spot you.
Yeah.
Once you've got that sort of really valuable content, that kind of, for me, that almost gives you the sort of, the right to start to contact these sort of influencers, the actual owners of those communities. Because the reason why, a blog owner or a community owner is going to value like high quality, relevant content is because they want their readership to continue to grow.
Yeah.
You know, that's where they're making their money. Mm. That's, you know, if not money, which, you know, in a lot of cases it's not.
It's kind of social capital, isn't it?
Yeah. Absolutely. Just the love of kind of nurturing this community. And, by getting in contact with those guys directly, approaching them and saying, look, I've got this sort of content, which I think might be really useful for your readers. And that, I'd say that's probably been the very most effective method.
I think you're right there, Graham, is that you've got to remember that every website has a purpose. And if you can do something to help that website owner fulfill that purpose, and that also benefits you as a business, then you're both taking advantage, and then it's very hard for someone to say no to something that's beneficial to them as much as it is to you. And I think that's where a lot of people go wrong in internet marketing. They're always thinking about, well, what can this do for me, rather than what can this do for for both of us.
Exactly. Collaboration is the key.
Yeah, very much so.
Just to finish that off, I'd say once that content is on, you know, on the blogs and, you know, these targeted sites, make sure that you participate. Make sure that you stay involved with that, because, you know, if you really, really want to start to build this community, if you've got this opportunity of your lovely content in the faces of all the people that you most want it to be in front of, if you just step back and you're not involved in that, that's just a missed opportunity. So use tools such as social mention. I'd say I think that's probably my favorite one. There are others, How Sociable. I don't know if you've used that one. That's
Have we talked about these on previous shows?
I think we might have mentioned them before.
Have we mentioned Social Mention?
I think we have. Not, we should have, because it's a very good tool.
All right, should we mention it now or?
Social Mention. Socialmention.com.
Well, at least we can link to it, in the show.
Yeah, I know that when Dan Rouse has been on the shows recently, he's talked about some of these kind of reputation management tools, and they probably fall into that category. But Social Mention and How Sociable are two that I know I rate, and I've done definitely you rate as well.
Social Mention is, of course, Brightonian.
I didn't realise that.
Yeah, starting in Brighton. By a friend of mine, actually.
That's Jonathan, isn't it?
Mr. Jonathan Markwell.
Mr. Jonathan. Yeah.
Are we allowed to give him a shout out?
Yeah. Of course we can. Jonathan Markwell.
What a guy.
Shouting out to Jonathan Markwell. Instigator of How Sociable.
How Sociable.
Yeah. And most importantly, of course, to do this question, who can explain what a boffin is to Mike?
Oh.
Quintessentially English words.
Yes.
Boffin.
It's kind of, I suppose, on a similar route as kind of geek and nerd. Mm.
Yeah,
so the boffin at school would be the person who was the cleverest, if you know what I mean, but probably a little bit socially awkward, I think, is the...
being a consummate professional, I've done some research on this.
Oh, gross.
The closest term in the US is probably egghead.
Egghead.
And we're looking at scientists, doctors, engineers, anybody who's particularly clever, perhaps, in a certain field.
So perhaps we were being a little bit kind of overconfident describing ourselves as boffins there. But never mind, never mind. And maybe we're not quite in the same league as that, but we try our best to be intelligent and helpful, don't we, Andy?
Yes. With that, should we move on to the second paper question?
I'm digging myself a big hole here.
I think we've got a third sort of personally asked question, but you'll cover that in a minute, won't you, Graham? Mr. Graham Hume, Brent said Hume. Okay, hi, Kelvin. Enjoying your and Andy's podcast very much, and have learned quite a bit from listening. I have a few microsites aimed at ranking for a particular niche phrase, then presenting Google AdSense ads on that site for pay for click revenue from Google. Currently, one of my sites will be ranked fourth or so on Google's first page for the search term, but then in a couple of days, it's gone from that ranking and is nowhere to be found. Then after a few days, it will pop up ranked high again. Apologise for the helicopter sound. We've got a police helicopter hovering over. I think they're after Kelvin.
Yeah, I'm on the run.
Back to the letter.
Crimes against hair, I think it's probably my... Crimes against fashion, that's for sure.
Yeah. Then after a few days, it will pop up again, ranked high again for maybe a day or two again, but then it's...
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Don, this pattern has continued for some time. I tried rewriting content thinking maybe it was too similar to some other site out there, even though I could find none close to mine. Any ideas on what's causing this and ways to fix it? Thanks again for the podcast and information you guys provide. Steve in Texas.
Cool. Yeah, I think there's probably a few potential things in play here. I mean, one is there in some of the recent updates at Google, of which the Google Vince update was sort of initially known as the big brand update, but it's sort of, in my mind, morphed as we've begun to understand it a bit more to be more and more about usage data. Now, I don't know whether this is the particular case in this example, but I've seen on certain websites of our clients where they've been moving up the rankings, they almost get a few tries a day on search terms to see how well they perform. Because if you imagine Google, they have every single piece of conceivable data about search websites' performance on search results pages. So if you imagine you have two search results pages and one of those websites in position two gets a significantly higher click-through rate in position two than a normal position two would across that vertical, across all verticals. So say you've got, you know, website X in position one and website Y in position two, and website Y is getting more clicks than a website should in that position. Google can be fairly confident that although there are other ranking algorithms have put them in that sequence, that perhaps there's something not quite right there. So what they do, I think, in some cases, is they're almost seeing where you should be, seeing if you're getting the click-through rate. If you're not, they're kind of turning you down a bit, and if you do well, they're leaving you in that position. So there's I think that might be part of it there as well.
Yeah, very, very quickly. Mm. I had a friend, a dear friend, who had a website for a charity, yeah. and she spent 2 days sitting in her bedroom clicking on her Google results so that she could improve in her rankings. Yeah. That was before I spoke to her.
Yeah.
So I think it's probably quite important to mention.
Oh, yeah.
Don't do that.
No, I wouldn't recommend doing that. And what I'm suggesting there is that, and you know, if anything, Google would be able to see that a mile away. And I don't think it's as simplistic as a kind of, if you click on your result all the time, you're going to go up in the Google rankings. But what I do think is, in aggregate, across all different search terms, Google are probably trying slightly different versions of their ranking algorithm. And seeing which ones perform the best, as it were. And on one version of that algorithm, you might be good enough to be on the first page, but another ever so slightly different version of that algorithm, where it's just kind of slightly different tweak on one of them, you might not be there as well. I mean, another thing I know Graham was going to bring up as well when we're talking about this beforehand is the possibility of personalised results. So, I mean, everyone's results are personalised to some extent, aren't they? I mean, and you can turn it... I mean, I'm probably jumping on your toes here with a bit you're going to say, Graham. But
That's fine. I was going to say, just to make sure that it's Google and sort of not something at your end, it might be worth using a ranking tool, perhaps, just to see if those results agree with you.
Yeah.
So, you know, I as you say, it could be something to do with... personalized results. So one day you might be logged in into your Google account, and the next day perhaps not. I assume, you know, that's
And what's also probably an interesting question that would be to look in is not just where are you in those search ranking results, but what's everyone else up to. So when you jump up, is there another website that jumps down accordingly as well? So you've got to bear in mind that with all search results, it's not just you doing SEO or you just trying to get higher in the rankings. There's other people doing stuff as well. And perhaps for every time you go up, it's not actually so much you going up, it's someone else going down. So it's a interesting query. I don't think necessarily changing your content all the time is going to have a huge impact, other than the fact that potentially every time you change your contact, Google will re-spider it and go, oh, this is great new content, we'll give you a little bit of a boost for a little bit of a period of time, and then you drop down. That might be part of the mix. I'm probably inclined to say it probably isn't, but you know, they do tend to favor new pages. So if you add new pages to your site, you will often find they'll rank very well for a couple of weeks and then disappear off that, because Google are giving you a bit of a boost because you're topical. But that tends to be with new indexed pages rather than changes to existing pages. Mm. So I think probably what we're looking at here is just that kind of natural variation, that there's no such thing as a static search engine result now. So every time every person searches, they might get potentially a slightly different version. Mm. If me, Andy and Graham all go back to our computers and search for the same term, potentially we're getting 3 different sets of results. Some of that's different data centers, where Google have different data on different data centers that you're served. Some of it's due to these usage updates. A big part of it's personalization, and you know, you can't be certain of any ranking, which is why ranking reports are useful, but I wouldn't rely on them as your only form of SEO reporting. It needs to be about kind of performance, doesn't it, really?
Oh, we live in an uncertain world, don't we?
Yes.
Yeah, I'd say, as just a bit of advice, don't get downheartened. I think that's the main thing. Well, just keep on going.
Yeah, and the way I would see it is that the fact that if the search engines are showing you in a high performance some of the time, that's showing that you're improving. What I would be more concerned about, if you'd always been in those top results and you're starting to disappear intermittently, what that would tend to show is that there's a good chance you might end up ultimately in the higher position. So a good indicator for the listener there.
Graham, you had an interesting question, didn't you?
I did have an interesting question. It's been one that I admit I've thought about in the past, and it's been asked of me quite recently by a web developer friend of mine. Mm. And he really asked, I suppose, for some of us who love the internet, I know I love the internet, which is why I work in it. And my friend quite succinctly asked, can internet marketing ever make the internet better? So is it in a place which can make the internet better?
I mean, yeah, I think a lot of us in internet marketing, whether we've done naughty stuff or not, which I don't tend to think I have, but we've got a lot to answer for, because spam, that's internet marketing.
Yes.
Every day you're getting link requests, that's internet marketing, that's, you know, spam as well. So there's a lot of stuff that is done in the name of internet marketing that doesn't do us any favours in terms of improving the web. There's all kinds of websites which only exist to try and get a little bit of search engine traffic and get a few Google clicks. There's content that's reused. There's hacking of websites just to insert some links in there. That's internet marketing as well. So there's a lot of very bad stuff we've done. I mean, we collectively, not we as in, you know, us around the table. But
this does remind me a bit of that sketch from Monty Python and the Holy Grail where they say, what have the Romans done for us then?
Yeah.
Well, they brought us sewage systems, roads and pipes and things. And but what's the internet? What's internet marketing done for us then?
But similarly, yeah, I think Andy's right. There's a lot of positive things as well, because websites are better because people have had to produce better websites in order to do better on Google. So there's definitely that part of it there as well that's, you know, part of the equation. Personally, I think I have, and I try to encourage people who we're working with to try and see that everything you're doing in internet marketing should be to try and make the web a bit better place. It might not be a lot better as a consequence of it, but never add anything to the web that you think is making it worse for a number of reasons. One, because yes, I'm a bit of a hippie. Yes, I love the internet. That's part of it there. But a big part of it is you're just not going to get very far. You know, Google and co and all the social sites and all the people behind it are getting cleverer and they want good stuff. They don't want average stuff or bad stuff. Average isn't going to get you any attention anymore. So you've got to be trying to produce good stuff. And hopefully that good stuff is something that adds to the internet rather than, you know, and I think everyone's kind of got a karma account, if you know what I mean. And every time you ask a favour, you're taking a deduction from your karma account, and you need to keep that balanced or you're not going to end up doing very well online. I mean, what do you think, Andy? You're looking like you're busting to say something, or, you know.
Not particularly. I just thought I'd let you guys... I was being lazy and sitting back, letting you two guys do the talking, twiddling knobs and things.
But so what do you reckon, Graham? Do you think that we ought to be doing more to try and... improve the reputation of internet marketers?
Well, over a nice pint of some such in the local pub, I was speaking to the friend who asked me that question, and I suppose my first response was that it's fair to say, although the internet is a free and beautiful place at the moment, and hopefully it will continue to be, it has grown and it is what it is because it allows people to promote themselves and it allows people to, you know, make those profits. It allows people to have those sorts of business connections. You know, it is what it is, and although it would be lovely if it was all just free content to go around without anybody, you know, having to spend any money and without anybody gaining anything, that's not a way that it could exist. You know, and the very fact that we do have so much free resources, free tools, is all on the back of that. So I suppose that was my initial response. After that, I mean, I like to think of myself as part of that sort of mindset of the people who go out of their way to make sure that everything I do for clients is going to be valuable, as well as the clients, to the customers and to the users. And I think especially with the sort of advent of the more sort of looking at engagement and, you know, as I was saying, sort of communicating with influencers, more than ever, we are going out and we're looking at what people want and we're creating it for them.
Yeah.
And that's a really valuable thing, absolutely. And so I mean, you know, as you say, there's sort of black hat, there's white hat, there's, you know, there are many different sort of facets to online sort of marketing. But I think in the end, as people kind of get more and more educated about what they can be achieving whilst bringing value to their users, I think it's only going to get better.
And in terms of another sort of good deed person online who's worth checking out, who's been terribly banned from Twitter and Facebook, it's a chap called Salty Droid, as in salty, as in like has salt on it. And basically what he is doing, he's got a very peculiar writing style, but what he has made his modus operandi going after the internet marketing gurus who are conning people. And there are, it's probably a worse problem in the States than it is in the UK. But these kind of sign up for my scheme, it'll be $4,000 and I'll tell you how to make $1 million in yeah. And essentially all they are kind of Ponzi schemes and, you know, pyramid schemes and the like. And yeah, he's made quite a few enemies of the people who are doing this. But in terms of some internet marketers who are giving us all a bad reputation, Salty Droid, I think, is doing a good job at trying to name and shame some of those people. Yeah. So if you're thinking of signing up for one of these, I can make you rich in 15 minutes by doing no work with your eyes closed websites, which I don't imagine many of our subscribers are naive enough to go for that. But if you know a friend who's looking at that, have a look at Salty Droid, because he names and shames a lot of the people behind there, and I'll drop a link in the show notes.
Fighting the good fight.
Yes, definitely. But I mean, what's the shame about it though is he's been banned from Twitter, banned from Facebook, because the people who he's criticizing rightly have complained to the you know, the people behind the websites, and they've banned him just because they don't, you know, they're saying he's doing he's being libelous and all these kind of things and defamation. And I mean, he's a lawyer, so he's kind of knows where he's stood on these things. He's not saying anything he shouldn't be, really, but they're being overzealous in the policing of that. And it's a shame that someone who is kind of a vigilante for, in a good way, is being kind of silenced when these people who are actually conning people have tens of thousands of followers and no one ever pulls them up about the fact that they're telling lies.
So. Wow. Interesting stuff. Okay, well, we better leave it there, because I think this is about an hour's show so far. No, it's about half an hour, I think. So it's goodbye from me, Andy White.
Goodbye from me, Kevin Newman.
And goodbye from me, Graham Benstead Hume.
And internet
Esquire.
Marketing.
Esquire.
Internet marketing will be back next week, brought to you by Site Visibility at sitevisibility.com. We'll see you next week. Have a good one. Well, that's it for today. Thank you so much for listening. You can find us on the internet at www.internetmarketingpodcast.org, where you'll find show notes, links, and instructions on how to subscribe. We would absolutely love to get feedback, comments, and questions from you. If you want to send an email, send it to kelvin.newman@sitevisibility.com. Also, feel free to comment on the website. And if you'd like to use our voiceline number, if you're outside of the UK, it's +44 1273 256 150. If you're inside the UK, it's 01273 256 150. And you can leave a voice comment or question and we'll play it on the show. Also, we would absolutely be delighted if you would give us a rating on iTunes itself. Well, that's it for now. Andy White signing off until next week on Internet Marketing.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com. The number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.